Holding on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, about 12 lines from the about 12 lines from the bottom line, you can see Bar Yehu.
Lamed Vav Amud Beis.
We learned yesterday, discussing the whole matter of Prozbul, we learned an expression that Shmuel said that the Prozbul we said is Ulbuna de Dayamihu. So what does Ulbuna mean? So we said yesterday, we mentioned, Rashi explained, based on Maskan, I'm thinking I was going to say, that Ulbuna means a chutzpah. The chutzpah is a thing to take away, to use such a thing as a Prozbul to take away money from people who by rights should be able to keep it. But now, though, the Gemara is going to deal with the
Gneva is more than a chutzpah.
No, it's not really Gneva, because the fact of the matter is it is a takana. And we're going to learn later on, we're going to learn on Lam Zayin Amud Beis, actually, at the top, that the loiva does have a mitzvah to return the chayv, and actually, to a certain extent, even the malva can force it to. Well, wait, we'll get to that. But anyway, so, Ibari Lavu. So now they had a question. When he says Ulbana, hi Ulbana, lishna de chutzpahu, or lishna de michutzahu? Is Ulbana, does it mean it's a chutzpah, to take money away from people when it's not right, or does it mean nichusa, that it's made, that l'chatchila, the prusbo, was made basically for the convenience of the dayanim. Like this, you're going to have, everybody's going to have to collect their debts before Shemitah, or else they're going to actually have to give their shtaris to Beis Din, or, for example, before Shem talk about Beis Din, they would have had to make a different kind of takana, such as that the time for repaying the loan is automatically extended, whatever, and so therefore the prosbo therefore was done according to that. You could say it was done for the convenience of the dayanim, sort of. Which, either way, it would be that either Shmuel saying it's a chutzpah.
Without a prosbo, they would go to the dayanim.
Without a prosbo, they would go to the dayanim. For example, they might have to actually go and give their shtaris to Beis Din, and the dayanim would actually have to go start trying to collect the debts on behalf of the malvim. As opposed to like this, you make the prosbo, and basically, the Beis Din is making you a shliach to collect the debt that was originally owed to you in the first place.
So the debt is never canceled. Because if you have
if you don't have a prosbul, then the debt is canceled. That's the point. The
no,
question is
saying the rabbanim, the Beis Din can come and collect it.
That's if you moisher shtaros of a Beis Din. Where again, you could have that you could have that you make a prosbul, which we discussed yesterday, how the mechanism of prosbul works. Or it could be that you didn't make a prosbul. And if you didn't make a prosbul, then we talked yesterday. Then you're going to have Shmita stuff him. The loan is going to be canceled. But if you didn't, if the dayanim, if Hillel had not come up with the takana of a prosbul, you would still have to have, because of the necessity, because rich people are unwilling to lend money because they're afraid they're going to end up losing it, they would have had to come up with some other takana.
It would come to the Polish leaders.
Yeah. So they would have had to come up with some other kind of takana, which would be more of a hassle for the Beis Din. So therefore, in that sense, the prosbul makes life easier for the Beis Din. And Maharam Shif also talks about the possibility maybe Nichusa means sort of like the Beis Din is saying it's sort of like not Meloshin Nachas, like easy, but Meloshin Nochos, like lower down. Like Beis Din doesn't consider themselves of the caliber to make other kinds of Takanas, and therefore by default the left of the prosbul. Anyway, what is it? What does the Ubna mean? Tashma, the Amaola, we find a different expression, a different place where the same Shoresh of Ayin Lamed Beis is used, where it means Chutzpedik. Where Ula says, Aluva Kala Shadinsa Bekerav Chupasa, how Chutzpedik is the Kala who's Mizana right there in her Chuppah. The Nimshal is the Jewish people. We're still at Har Sinai. We're still effectively at the Chuppah. And already we're making an Egel. So we see that the word Aluva means Chutzpedik. You know what? Throughout Nach. Yes, throughout Nach, a very common metaphor for Tanach, actually, Chumash also, a very common metaphor for worshipping of a Dezara is Nus. Yeah. So therefore we see the word aluva, and then therefore ulbana means chutzpah. Omer of Mori, brother of Shmuel, however, Rav Mori, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, points out, he micro, where the positive that expresses this idea, in Shiashirim, it says, Absham Melech B'Misiboy, while the king was still at his feast, Nudi Nosan Reche, my nerd, which is a kind of spice, like Shibolos nerd in the Tardis, Nosan Reche, gave away its fragrance. Nosan Rashi explains it's sort of like Ozav. It lost its fragrance. We had our fragrance of mitzvahs, and all of a sudden we lost it. Okay? And that was Ad Sham Melech B'Misiboy. While the king is still at his party, like while we're still at Har Sinai, and then the aftermath of Matan Torah is still going on. Yeah. Amar Rava, however, Rava says, Adayin Chavirusa Hu Gabon, even in that, even when we're expressing this idea, Aluva Kala, Shazinta B'Sei Chapasa, and we have this pasuk, nevertheless, we still see the Chavirus, we still see the love that the Hiddush has for us Jewish people, even in that, from the expression of the pasuk, Tichtiv Nasa, and the likes of Yisriach. The pasuk just says that the Nerd gave its fragrance, which fine, you can understand, gave to mean like it gave it away. Instead of, it could have said Yisriach, it could have said it stank. And it didn't. Okay, Tosva says it wouldn't have used the word like stank, it's hard to use the Lashon Nakia, but it would have used the actual word ozav. It could have said it lost its fragrance. Nosan actually means it gave its fragrance. So therefore, it's like a euphemistic way of saying it. And we see, therefore, the chavivus, the love that the Eber still has for us even after that. Speaking of this matter of aluva, is another drasha, another bit of agata that has to do with that expression. Chanan abonan hanel loven veinim oven. People who are embarrassed, but they don't embarrass others. So again, we see the shurish olav means when somebody is chutzpedik towards somebody. So somebody who other people are chutzpedik to him and he's not chutzpedik back. Shemin chepasan vein meshivin. He hears people making fun of him and doesn't reply. They serve the Eibishter out of love, not for the sake of schar. They're happy with Yisurim that they get because they know that helps clean up any averus they may have with the Eibishter. On such people, the Pasuk says, the last words of this week's Haftarah, those who love Hashem will be like the sun when it comes out in its power, in its maximum strength. The first one talk about a lot of different possibilities, what the comparison is. One is, we know the famous thing, when the moon complains to the Eibishter, how you talk about there's two bodies the same size, and the Eibishter diminishes the moon, etc. The sun didn't speak up, even though the moon is trying to argue and effectively saying, I should be the big one, and let the sun be the smaller one. The sun didn't react. That's an 11 man and oven. There's other explanations also, including that the sun is oisin me'avo, smesin me'yisurin, that it's happy to do its job of serving the Eibishter and lighting up the world, even though it knows that there are goyim who worship it, which is a tremendous bizayin for it, that I'm a servant of the Eibishter, and you have people who think that I'm some kind of independent being. A lot of different.
The sun in Torah is supposed to shine forever.
Not forever. I mean, you have psukim that imply that we won't even need the light of the sun. Lost in lover, the pasuk in Yeshaya, lo yilach Hashemesh lo yomam. On the other hand, we have v'hoya oyal levonakor racham yeshivatayim that the sun's light will be much more intense. Lost in lover, we had an nedarim, the famous thing about Moitzis Chaim in Azuka. Anyway. So as far as there's a lot of discussion about these couple of lines of Gemara, including Chafetz Chaim explains that what the Gemara is implying over here is you have three different levels of people. And they love and venom oven, somebody makes fun of them, they don't make fun back, but they do respond with something. The second level is Sherman Chafos and Ven Meshivin, they don't reply at all. And the third level is Oisin Ma'avo Smith and Yisurim. They're happy that they're getting these kind of Yisurim because they know that it helps, that it raises their stock with the Eibishter. And they're the ones specifically that they're the ones who deserve this great thing of being like the sun in its intensity. Okay. One connection, by the way, besides the linguistic connection on the Shorish Olav, the Maharal explains that since we were just talking about the Jewish people making the Chetah Egel, doing the Chetah Egel, from then until now, the Goyim constantly make fun of us, Hayitachem, that you could do such a thing. We're Hanel Ovin, Veinim Ovin. We don't go and insult them back. We're what kind of low life you are.
Very much so.
Getting back to the matter of Prusbul, my Prusbul, what does the word Prusbul mean? Amar Rav Chisda Prus Bully Ubuti. It is a takana for the bully and the buti. Bully and buti means the rich and the poor. Bully, elu ashirim. The word bully means the rich people. Dichtiv, like we have in the pasuk in the Teichachah, v'shabarti es goyinu v'schem, the Eibishter says, I'll break the pride of your strength. V'tanen Rabbi Yosef, elu bulois to be Yehuda. And Rabbi Yosef says, this means the bulois, the rich people in Yehuda. That their strength was broken at the time of the Churban and the Galus. And buti, elu aniyim, and the word buti means poor people, just if habit tavitenu, as the pasuk says, that a poor person has to borrow, habit tavitenu, you should lend them money. So therefore, buti is related to the word habit. So the word prusbul, in other words, is short for prusbuli or buti. So Marshal and Maram Shif and others ask, how come it's not called prusbul but, why is it just called prusbul, where the buti in there? He says, the letter lamed and the letter tes are two letters that come from the same moitza hapeh. They're both produced in the same way by your tongue touching the back of your teeth. Therefore, they can interchange. A lamed and a pes can interchange, and therefore the lamed of prusbul can also be as if it was a pes of burt. The prusbul can also be as if it was prusbul. Amale Rava l'Uza. So Rava one time asked somebody who spoke a foreign language. So he used the word prusbul apparently came from his language. Many people think that the word prusbul comes from Greek. He asked him, my prusbul, what does the word prusbul mean? Amale Pursa de Milsa, it means the takana of the matter. So never mind, in other words, specifically the bully or bulti that we said, prusbul just means the takana in order to fix up, in order to make the matter work.
Why didn't you want to change from Zion to Tom?
Throughout the thing over here we've been having...
The Mishnah is Zion.
The Mishnah, it was also with...
Aramaic, maybe.
It could be that you... Yeah, you're right, in the Mishnah it was with Zion. Could be since the Gemara is explaining that it comes from the word Pursa or Prus or whatever, then therefore the Gemara preferred to spell it with a sign. It could also be the copyist, you know, lopped after it came out from the yeshiva of Ravina and Ravashi that way.
Okay.
Anyway. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Yisoimim ein tzrichin prusbul. Orphans don't need a prusbul. Now Rashi explains we're talking about if their father had lent somebody money before he died, and now they're trying to collect the debt after Shemitah, hello, they don't need a prusbul for that purpose. Other Rishonim say that it's not even talking about that. Even if the Yisoimim themselves, the administrator of their estate, the apotropos or whatever, lent somebody money, they don't need a prusbul in order to keep it from being canceled. Why? Because Rabbi Gamliel in his time, the next Nasi after him, etc., and his base, you know, considered the father of Yisoimim. Meaning, even though the Yisoimim have an apotropos who is handling their day-to-day affairs, the base din of each generation is considered like they're in charge of making sure that things are done in the best possible way for the Yisoimim. Therefore, effectively, we consider it as if these documents that the IOUs that people owe these Yisoimim money, or that they owe their father money, as the case may be, it's as if those are already in the hands of Beis Din. And we looked before, prusbul, according to Rashi anyway, consists of moisa shtarois of the Beis Din. It's the equivalent of handing over your documents to Beis Din. In this case also, we consider that the documents are already effectively in the hands of Beis Din. Well, it says Tinan Hasam. Now we learn in a Mishnah in Shviyas when it discusses the dinim of prusbul. Ein kosvin prusbul el ala karka. You're only allowed to write a prusbul if based on land. Based on land. Now why is that? So the simple meaning basically is meaning in other words, Rashi says it means only if the loiva, only if the borrower has land. Now why is that? There's a few different reasons that Rishonim give. Rashi over here says the reason is because most debts involve land. Usually the loiva has land, and therefore that's under a shibud to the debt. When the Chachamim made the takana, they wanted to make it the usual kind of situation. Usually the loiva is going to have land, and therefore that's how they set it up. They didn't want to include the unusual case where he has no land. Because in general, the Chachamim don't usually make takanas from milta de leshtis or for something that's not common. That's how Rashi learns.
The guy would be kind of stuck in that state. Mob will be stuck.
We'll talk in a second. What can be done in order to avoid that? Wait a couple of lines. Yeah. Other Rishonim give other reasons, including one of them is that if the loiva has land, since the malva is able to collect from that land eventually, in a certain sense, it can be considered as if the debt has already been paid off. Because the land is always going to be available, and even if he sells it, if it's available, it can be taken away from the guy he sold it to. So therefore, when the Chachamim made the Takana of Prusbul, they wanted to make it at least that to a certain extent, it's not totally taking away the Din D'Oraisa. We'll learn later on the Amud that if there is a mashkin involved, if there's a security involved for the loan, then it wouldn't be canceled by Shmita anyway. But this is at least vaguely similar to that, enough that it was a basis for the Takana.
By not doing it, sometimes you're saying there was the right effect of time.
We discussed yesterday the question whether Shmita's Ksafim nowadays is Daraisa or Darabanan anyway. But yes, if you can't write a prusbul, it would mean that Shmita's Ksafim is in effect and the loan is going to be canceled. Basically, they would have wanted to make it that we're only going to be allowing a prusbul. We're only going to allow that the debt won't be canceled in a case that's somewhat similar to where Daraisa wouldn't be canceled. Daraisa, you'd need an actual mashkin, Durabonin, we're going to say even if there's no actual mashkin, but there's just land that the loiva owns.
Oh, you mean that's actually the
right? Yeah. That can't become, yeah.
I'm sorry?
That it can't become cancelled if there's a mashkin. Well, let's get later on the omelet. Can't become, yeah. In Einloi, if the loiva does not have land, mizakeu, but says today or kol shavu, then the malva can be mizaka to him some small part of his own field. So there you go. The malva is not going to be stuck. He just has to hand over some of a small part of his field to the loiva. The kama kol shavu, how much is that? Even a small amount. Amar chiba ashi, amar rav afilu kelach shel kruv. Even if it's only a piece of land big enough to plant one cabbage. It's considered
enough.
Not by the crop. But the point is, we learned the other day, and we talked about it. We previously talked about it in Ksubas, the concept of tinadabaya, the concept that if the loiva has even a small piece of property, you're able eventually to collect the whole debt using that. So you take away that one piece to satisfy one penny of the debt. He buys it back. Then you take it away from him again to satisfy the next penny, and so on and so forth. And eventually, the whole debt gets paid off.
He doesn't pay back. What that piece?
No, so that's the point. Eventually, he's going to want to buy back because he's going to want the land. So over here, okay, it belonged to the Malva originally, but the principle is still the same thing. Even a small amount of land in principle can be used to collect an entire debt, and therefore that's good enough. Amar Yehuda, Afilu Hishilei Mokem L'Tanur L'Kidayim Kosvin Al HaPrutzbol. As a matter of fact, actually, it doesn't even have to be that he gives him away land. Even if the Malva had previously lent the loiva a place to put up an oven or range, which usually are attached to the ground. Actually, they're not even attached to the ground. Rashi says v'yam atalkulin, they're movable. They're movable. Town of Vikarayim. Nevertheless, kosev another prusbul. That's a valid enough thing that we can say that to a certain extent belongs to the loiva enough that we can say that a prusbul can be written on the basis of that. Yeah, the malva had previously lent the loiva a place to put the oven or the range. Yeah.
And the thing with the land has nothing to do with the
malva. We're talking about the land. Therefore, even though that land belongs to the malva.
It has to do with the malva, you think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lending the loiva, or...
He had previously lent the loiva. Besides that he lent him money, he also lent him a piece of land to be able to put up a stove. Yeah.
So we're forgetting the stove and all that. When you talk about land, you think the loiva has land, if he has any land...
If he has any amount of land, we're saying, but if the loiva himself,
then
you're able to write a prusbul.
You're able to write the prusbul,
and therefore not have a loan.
It doesn't matter where the loiva got the land from.
Right.
That's what we're saying. With the malva.
That's what we're saying. If the loiva has no other land, even the malva can make available to him some land of his own. Yeah.
There are
achronim we can talk about that maybe you can rely on the concept that every year he has a certain portion of land in Eretz Yisrael. Although other poskim are not too happy with that idea, because for example, what if the guy is a ger? He doesn't have a portion in Eretz Yisrael. So yeah, there is actually the Ma'aril says that that's another reason why in his time people weren't particularly careful about writing a prosbul. He says another reason is because most Jews in his time didn't own land; they weren't allowed to in most of Europe. The Gemara asks, "Any? So is that so? You need an actual piece of land?" The Hotani Hillel, but Hillel, this isn't the Hillel who made the original Takana of the Prusbul, this is a later Hillel, and a murder. Torah Braisa, Ein Kosvin Prusbul, El Al Otis Nachos Vilvad. You can only write a Prusbul based on if the loiva has a flower pot with a hole in it.
I apologize, which Hillel is this here?
This is Hillel and a murder. This is some later a murder.
Hatani
means he Torah Braisa. That's a murder. I'm a
Torah
Braisa. He Torah Braisa. So you can only write it out altis nokov vilvat, nokov ein, shein, and nokov loy, which means only if it has a hole, which then through the hole, the plant inside the flower pot gets nourishment from the ground, otherwise not. So the question is, am I, why not? Fine, the flower pot, if it doesn't have a hole, is not considered attached to the ground. But it's sitting on the ground someplace. That, based on what we just said, about lending him a place to build a stove or whatever, chaner, so the same thing, a flower pot. The answer is loitzricha de manachat siki. Yes, but we could be talking about a case where the flower pot is not even on the ground, it's on top of pegs. There are pegs stuck into the ground, and the flower pot is on top of that. So what's the deal? How does that help? So some mephoshim say because the area of the pegs is too small to be significant. Other mephoshim argue with that. We just said even a place for one cabbage is enough. So therefore they talk about different other possibilities, maybe he didn't lend him any of the ground at all he lent him is the pegs, and therefore the ground under them is not considered lent out at all. whatever. But the fact that a flower pot has a hole, that itself will be enough.
Implying
that
even when it's on pegs.
Even when it's on pegs, right. Rav Ashi Maknela Gidma de Dikla. Rav Ashi, when he had somebody who had borrowed money from him and he needed to arrange a prosbul, he would be makna to him a stump of a palm tree. So the palm tree itself had been chopped down, but the stump is still attached to the ground. Because of all that prosbul, and he would use that as a basis, that's good enough. He now owns some land, and you can write a prosbul on that basis. Rabbonim Devera. Doesn't matter that it produces anything, it's still there's a spot of land over there. And you could. You may not be able to plant anything there, but you can still use it for whatever purposes you would use a piece of land for.
He was Machnet to him, yeah. So why would he need Machnet just a little piece of land? Why does it have to be
I don't know. Maybe he wanted to demonstrate that it's good enough even if it's a stump where otherwise, like you say, you can't plant there or whatever. Rabbanan, the Ravashi Masri Milayu Lahadadi. The Rabbanan of the Yeshiva of Ravashi used to hand over the words to each other. Meaning, they wouldn't write out a shtar of a prosbul. They would actually do like we do nowadays, where you go in front of each other, or actually technically it would have to be based in a three, whatever, and they would verbally say that I'm handing over my debt to you, that I should be able to collect them after Shemitah. So Mefarshim disagree. Does that create a precedent only for Tamid Chachamim? The Rambam says yes. The Rambam says this idea of doing it verbally only works for Tamid Chachamim. Regular people do have to do a written prosbul. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who hold that not. They hold that even regular people can do it, and that's the fact that we do it nowadays on Erev Rosh Hashanah by Taurus and Donim verbally follows that opinion.
Let me explain why
he's not. I don't remember if the Rambam gives a reason. Rapashtus, it might be because the Rabbanon know the Takana over here. They know that they know the concept of Shemitah Ksafim. They know the concept of prosbul, whatever. They're not going to forget about Shemitah Ksafim, whereas a regular person may forget about it altogether. If you don't have they're going to forget that there's ever such a mitzvah as Shemitah Ksafim if you don't make them write it.
So there's no karkam as me or Lashi?
No, they have karkam, but we're not. There still needed to be karka involved, as we said before. But instead of having a written shtar, yeah, it was just a verbal thing. Rabbi Yonasan Masamili Lirabchia Ba'aba. Similarly, Rabbi Yonasan used to give over the word to Rabbi Ba'aba. Again, he would make a verbal prosbul rather than a written one. So he asked him, do I need anything else? Do I need to write it down? He says, no, you don't need anything else. A verbal one is good enough. Now, we learn in a braisa, getting back. Do you have to have edim? So if it's written, you have to have edim. That's what we said before. That either dayanim or edim. But if it's oral, you just have you're doing it in front of a beis din. Actually, I mean, here we said he would just say he did it in front of a chiyah ba'aba. So some rishonim say it means it was a chiyah ba'aba plus at least one other person. Because we said before we had the machlokas the other day, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman had said that two people was enough to do a prosbul in front of. Others say that no, Rabbi Ba'aba is by himself is enough because he's a mumcha the rabbim. He has smicha. He's able to be done in a knossos and everything, and therefore he by himself would be good enough.
No problem that he's nagei b'dava.
How is he nagei b'dava?
The
leiva. Rabbi Ba'aba was the leiva. Rabbi Yonasan was the malva. Rabbi Ba'aba was the local rav.
Oh.
Yeah. No, Masa Mili isn't yet. Masamili, and he executed a prosbul by saying it in the presence of Rabbi Ba'aba.
Who did it again? Well, who did it? I'm sorry.
This is Rabbi Yonasan.
Was his malva?
No, Rabbi Yonasan was a malva. He had bought, he had lent other people, and Rabbi Ba'aba wasn't involved except as the rav. Yeah.
Oh.
Turn it up on him. We learn in a brayta. Ein like karka v'la'orav yesh like karka. What if the loiva does not have land, and neither does the malva, let's say, but the orev, the guarantor for the loan, has karka? Fine, kosvinola prosbul. You can also use that as a basis for the prosbul. Because, in principle, if the loiva defaults on the loan, you can go after the orev, and therefore after his land. Loyal orev ein lahem karka v'lachayev lo yesh le karka. What if none of them, or even the orev, have land, but somebody who owes him money has land? Who's the him? Who's the him? Rashi says it means that somebody else owes the loiva land. Other Rishonim say it can mean even somebody else owes the orev. Not owes him land, owes him money. Owes him money, and therefore, again, land goes along with it, and that person owes land. So other Rishonim say it means...
Money with land.
Yeah, because in general, land is the security for the... Yeah. So then, Kosin of the prosbul mid Rav Nassan. Then also, you can use the din of Rav Nassan, the famous Shibud, the din of Nassan, to say that you can write a prosbul. The Tanya, Rav Nosanai. Remember, nine Lamosha Bachaveda money, Bachaveda Bachaveda. How do we know if Reuben owes Shimon money and Shimon owes Levi money? Minayan Shemitzi and Mizeb Nosim was there. How do we know that when the loans come due, you can take directly from Reuben and give it to Levi? And Reuben has no right, for example, to say, I have no business with Levi. I'm going to pay back Shimon. He's the one who lent me money. Levi has a claim against Shimon. Fine, let him deal with it separately. No, we don't do that. Problem love it, but Nosan Lasha Asham Loi. The passage says he gives it to the one to whom it's owed. In the ultimate creditor. So the same thing over here. If you have Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, Levi's the guarantor, and Yehuda has previously borrowed money from Levi, and therefore has a debt with him where now Yehuda owns land, since eventually if Reuven were to default on the loan, then you would go after Levi, and Levi in turn now could go after Yehuda to claim his own debt and therefore to get that land, then therefore it's considered well enough as though that land in principle could have gotten to Levi and even to Reuben and Shimon, and therefore it's valid for writing a principle. It's not awesome. Now, we learn, going further into the matter of principle, or actually here we're going to go off the topic of principle a little bit, and we're going to get into the more general concept of Shemitah Kesafim. What kinds of loans are canceled by Shemitah? It's not awesome. So we learn in the Mishnah and Shviyas over there. HaShviyas Mishametas is a milva. Shviyas cancels a loan, ben b'shtar, ben b'shaloi b'shtar, whether the loan involves a shtar or not. Now, what does this mean? Rabbi Shmuel Dami Tavayu. The word b'shtar means shtar sheyesh b'achrayis. The word, when it says that it cancels a loan that has a shtar, means a shtar where there is achrayis, the regular kind, achrayis nechosim, the regular kind of thing where there's a shtar saying that Reuven has borrowed money from Shimon and all of his real estate is under a mortgage is under a shibud for that loan.
What kind of other shtar could it have been?
That's the next one. Shaloi b'shtar means she'ein b'achrayis.
The nechosim means what?
Means real estate.
Only real estate.
Land and buildings. Yeah, there's a tachanas ha-ga'onim. There's a tachana from the early ga'onim that metalfalin are under a shibud to a loan as well. But in the time of the Gemara, that didn't exist yet.
You're under that what? You mean if they mashabit, they make a shibud on the chasim, then the metalfalin automatically come along also?
Meaning, in other words, in the times of the Goyim, it started to become common that Jews don't own land necessarily anymore. So therefore, you can't necessarily assume that every Jew is going to own land, which is going to be under a shibud to the loan. So therefore, the Goyim made a takana that Rambam refers to in a number of places in the Yad HaZaka, that metalfalin will be under a shibud as well. Meaning, in other words, that automatically, yeah, it's assumed that when you lend somebody money, meaning therefore that not that if they have any land, it will be under a shibud. Fine, you're able to. What?
Only with a
shtar that has achrayis. Yeah. Actually, Gemara discusses in Bava Metzia the question whether achrayis tos sefer. If you didn't write achrayis in the shtar, is it considered a mistake? And nevertheless, it's as if it said. But okay, you could be talking about there could be a shtar where it explicitly says there's no achrayis. Whatever. There could be three. In other words, you could have a shtar where it says achrayis. That's the normal one. You could have a shtar where it doesn't say achrayis, but we assume that as if it exists. Right. And you can have one where it explicitly says. So, Reuven is borrowing money from Shimon. However, Reuven and the Chosim are not under a shibud to pay back the loan.
That's okay.
You're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So Rav and Shmuel are saying that the Mishnah and Shviyas over there is referring to two types. They're both referring to a shtar. One is a shtar where there is a chrayas, and one is a shtar where there's not a chrayas. And then they say how much more so than that Shmita would cancel a loan that was just verbal and there was no shtar at all. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Dami Tavayu. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon and Rish Lakish say, no, b'shtar means shtar she'en b'achrayis nechosim. The word when the Mishnah says that a shmita without a principle, that is, canceled a loan with a shtar, that means shtar she'en b'achrayis nechosim. That means a shtar that does not have achrayis, where there's no shibud on the land. She'en b'achrayis nechosim. Shaloi b'shtar means milva al pet. Shaloi b'shtar means exactly what it sounds like. There's no shtar, it was just verbal. However, they say, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, that if the shtar has a chrayis nechosim, it won't be canceled by Shemitah, period. The Mishnah is not talking about that.
So it's irrelevant.
Right. So in other words, you wouldn't need a principle in order yet.
How do they say
that when the Mishnah says shtar, it means the shtar does not have a chrayis. according to the opinion that Achrayus is not Torah Sofer, means they didn't write anything. According to the opinion that Achrayus is Torah Sofer, means they explicitly wrote in the Shtau there is no Achrayus Nefasim.
Right, that's called
Sha'im, right? That's what Sha'im, right?
And then the Shtar didn't say anything, that's what it's called Achrayus.
That's for the one of Achrayus,
right? Right. And if it actually wrote up that there's Achrayus, yeah, and
that's Achrayus. According to them, that was such a thing. It's not canceled by Shmita in the first place. We're not even talking about Torah Sofer or not. Yeah,
And the Gemara changed up the Machlokes or the difference between the way before.
We just had Rav and Shmuel. Yeah, Rav and Shmuel are saying that a shtar that has a chrayus can be canceled by Shmita. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are saying that it can't be.
Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish say it cannot be.
Yeah. Tanya Kava says Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish. So we learned a brisa that throws the points of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. It says shtar choiv meshamet, that alone with a shtar choiv is canceled by shmita. V'im yesh ba'achrayis nechosim ain't meshamet, but if there's achrayis nechosim in it, then it's not meshamet, which is exactly what they said. Tanya idoch, then we learn in another brisa, siyim lo soda achas b'halva osay. If to begin with in the shtar, the loiva mentioned one particular field that is going to be this specific field. This is going to be the one that's mortgaged for the debt. Eidem Hashamet, then it's not canceled by Shmita. V'loyoid, and not only that, El Afilu Kosev, Kol Nechosev, Achroin, V'Achroin, Loch, even if he says not in one specific field, he says, all my Nechosim are under Achrayus and under Arevus to you, Eidem Hashamet, then it's also not Hashamet. Which is what Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are saying, that when there's Achrayus, then it's not Hashamet. That's what I was mentioning before, that according to this, Midah Raisa, when there's land involved, then when there's land involved, then it's not Meshamet. According to many Rishonim, that is the reason why we said before that a Purz Bowl requires the Loiva to have some land, in order that it should at least be similar to the original Din D'Oraisa.
Saying if all the land is...
Yes, so whether he says one particular field or whether he says all the land, yeah.
That's
under a Shevod, yeah.
Either way, there's no Chilek, is
there? Yeah, right. That's what the Baraisa is saying. So,
thank you very much.
The Gemara tells a case. Krivid Rav Asi Havaleh Ushtara, Davoksib Be'achrayis Nechosim. Rav Asi's relative had a shtar. Rashi explains that this relative was the Malva, so he had the shtar in his possession, which had an Achrayis Nechosim. Also, Kamed Rav Asi, so he came to Rav Asi. Amalei Meshamet, Eini Meshamet. Does this loan get canceled by Shmita or not? Amalei Eini Meshamet. So Rav Asi says it does. Because he didn't know that locha, yeah. Amalei Eini Meshamet. So he said it doesn't get canceled. Shabkev also came to Rabbi Yochanan, so he left him and went to Rabbi Yochanan to re-ask. He's still not sure about it. If the first Rav gave you a psak l'chumra, you're not allowed to go to another Rav l'kula. But that's why, before I should say, that is how Rashi knows that this relative must have been the Malve. Therefore, the first psak is l'kula. He's entitled to go and find out whether that l'kula is correct or whether it's better to be machmir. Also came to Rabbi Yochanan, he went to talk to Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Meshamet, Ein Meshamet, Amalei Meshamet. So he says, it does get cancelled. So he asks, remember Rav Asi asks, V'hammaru d'ama ein meshamet, didn't you say before that a loan that involves a chrayis v'chasim is not meshamet? Amalei, so Rav Yochanan answers him, V'chim mipnei sh'anu medamin nasa maisa, just because that's what we think, that how it should be, I didn't explicitly hear from my Rebbeim that it doesn't get cancelled by Shmita. It seems logical that it doesn't, that's what the Mishnah means. I didn't explicitly hear it from my Rebbeim, just because of that should be passed. So he said that this seems logical, but not that we should necessarily pass in halacha like that. So he says, what about the braisa that we just quoted, the two braisas actually, that go according to Rabbi Yochanan? Yes, but that braisa might be according to Bit Shammai, which we learned in Sota a couple of months ago. They say that if you have a shtar that's ready for collection, that's about to be collected, then, in other words, the kosher shtar, and you have a shibud on the karka, it can be considered in a certain way as if it was already collected. So according to them, therefore, you would say it's as if it was already collected, therefore it's not canceled by Shmita. Vesilo would disagree with that.
Kigavu,
at least to the extent that it won't be canceled by Shmita. Fine, but Vesilo would disagree with that. So therefore, not necessarily can you prove from those prices what the halacha is.
The halacha is like
Vesilo, but that if we say those prices are like Vesilo, it would mean halacha is not like them. The fact is that halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, even though Rabbi Yochanan himself is saying we're not sure. Nevertheless, the halacha is like it. So not enough. Then we learn. Did I'm asking? Oh, you. I think actually I. Yeah, you're right. But on the other hand, it says further on, Siyam Lisod Achas Balvalse and Meshamet. So. Okay, you know what? I think you're right. I think there is actually a machlokes Rishonim about that, but yeah, who the halacha is like really like not this Shammai, of course not, like Rav and Shmuel, that regardless whether you're right the Rambam does pass in that way. That the halacha is like Rav and Shmuel, regardless whether the Zachariah is nechassim or not, the loan is canceled by Shmita unless you make a proposal. Yeah, you're right. Now we learn another Mishnah in Shviyas over there, and the Gemara is going through Mishnah by Mishnah, going through that paragraph basically. Hamalves chaverim moris al mashkin. If somebody lends his friend money using with security. Now, when we talk about mashkin, by the way, there's two different kinds. There can be where to begin with, when you lent him money, the guy gave you something as security, or there can be later on when he's defaulting on the debt, that you take security from him, and then there's the famous sukkim that if he's poor, you have to return it to him every night or every morning, as the case may be, etc. Which kind of mashkin we're talking about over here, Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim discuss the question, which kind are we talking about? Are we talking about only the kind that's taken at the beginning, or are we talking about even about the kind that might be taken later? Anyway.
What did it say
over
there again? I forgot.
Hamalves chaver moitz al mashkin, it says.
Yes, that what? What did it say?
That if he lends him money on a mashkin, but does that mean he lent him money and at that time he took a mashkin? What does it mean? He lent him money and at some later date a mashkin was taken.
What did it say about that? That
so the pasuk says that if you take a mashkin from a poor person, if it's something that if it's for example his pajamas and you have to return it to him every night,
right,
and then pick it up the next morning, right, and if it's his day clothes, you have to return it to him.
No, but I'm saying the Mishnah had mentioned that if he took...
The Mishnah just says al-mashkin. It doesn't specify what kind of mashkin.
Why is it about that? It's sort of about if the loan is...
Wait, and also the case of somebody who hands over his shtaris to Beis Din for collection in Mishamtin. Neither of those get canceled by Shmita.
Oh, that's part of the Mishnah.
Mishnah and Moshe shtaris of Beis Din. So, okay, I can understand why if he gives over his shtaris to Beis Din, the taxilu Beis Din, because then Beis Din has them in their possession. Hefker Beis Din Hefker. So, therefore, the Malver is not the one who's demanding the collection of the debt anymore. There's no logigos that you are not allowed to demand collection. Beis Din is allowed to. Malval a mashkin my timer. Why, if you lend somebody money and there's a mashkin involved, why does that prevent it from being canceled by Shmita? Amar Rava Mishum Tophasley. So Rava says because at this point he has a mashkin in his possession. He doesn't have to claim, he doesn't have to demand the repayment from the guy. He always has a mashkin that if the guy defaults on the loan, he can sell it and then get paid back that way. He already has it in his possession. So again, it's the equivalent of as if the loan was already paid off. I says to him, Elameata, by that logic, what about if he had lent him money and then the Malva is living in his chatzar, the chatzar that belongs to the Loiva? There's two possibilities what this means, just a second. The Tophis lay, where then he's in possession of the chatzar, Hachinami Dolem Shamet. You're going to tell me that prevents it from being cancelled by Shemitah. Now, what are we talking about that he's living in his chatzar? Tosfos explains that what we're talking about is a situation that's discussed in Bava Metzia, basically where now the halacha is if you lend somebody money, you're not allowed to live rent free in their chatzar because that's a form of riches. What you are allowed to do is something called mashkanta, that you're allowed to be mesalakim, which is basically let me explain. It means that the malva can live in the chatzar, and what he's doing is for all the time, as much time as he's living there, you're deducting that from the original loan. So the rent on this place is $1,000 a month. The loan was $10,000, so he gets to live there rent free for 10 months. Then at the end of the ten months, that's it. The loan has been paid off. And there's also a detail the Gemara explains over there there can be two different cases of it. There can be a case where it's considered as if there was a lease for the full 10 months. The lawyer is not allowed to say in the middle, you know what, I've raised the rest of the money. Let me pay you off and get out of here. Or there can be a situation where Dimasalki, that he has the option of doing that anytime he wants. And the Gemara explains over there that if if that second case is, if that second situation is the case, if the loiver at any time is able to pay off the loan and evict the guy from the chaser, then that's the kind of loan that Schmitter would cancel. So therefore, our Gemara is asking over here, why? If you're saying that it's just a matter of he has the mashkin in his possession, there he has a chaser in his possession at the moment. Other Rishonim talk about it's not necessarily a mashkanta situation. It could just be that he happened to have been living there beforehand, so there's no ribbis involved because he was living there all the time. What? That's the question. In other words, that Abaye is saying. So that's the question. Amalei shiny mashkin to kanulei mid Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rava tells him yes, but the difference is with a mashkin, with a movable mashkin, with either again, whether you take the beginning or you take the middle of the loan, as the case may be. That's the point. A mashkin is different to kanulei mid Rabbi Yitzchak. That actually the malva, to a certain extent, has acquired that mashkin based on what Rabbi Yitzchak said. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, minayin lebalchayv shkoyne mashkin. How do we know that the creditor actually has acquired the mashkin? It becomes his to a certain extent. The malva shenema, because the pasuk says luchot yitzdak. The pasuk says you have to return it to him every evening. Let's say it's his pajamas or whatever, so he needs it at night. So you have to return it to him every evening. And the pasuk says luchot yitzdak. For you, it will be considered tzedakah. Now, in a kind of tzedakah minayim, if he hasn't acquired it, what tzedakah is it? Which the Rosh explains the point is, if it was just a matter of you're doing him a chesed, that you're allowing him to sleep in his pajamas at night, that wouldn't be called tzedakah. It would be called gemilas chesed. Tzedakah implies that it's yours, and you're doing tzedakah by returning to him every night.
So what do you mean? You leave the chaser every night?
No, not the chaser. Not, that's the point. A chaser is different. A chaser is not a movable object.
Right.
In other words, but with metalsalin, if you took his pajamas as a mashkin, you have to return. You are considered to be the owner of them, and then you're returning them every night if he's poor. So that imein a kohen at tzedakah minayin mekan l'baal choyv shekohen a mashkin. From this, we see that baal choyv acquires the mashkin, but only a movable mashkin, a non-movable mashkin, not. Therefore, Rava says that's a reason to like a chaser. Therefore, Rava says that's a logical reason to distinguish between whether he's living in the chaser, whether a mashkanta or whatever, versus where he took a movable mashkin, where the movable mashkin now belongs to him. Now, so next, let's look at another mishnah in Shviyas. The Mishnah says at the end of the parak over there, if the borrower returns the loan to the lender during Shmita. Now, what do you mean during Shmita? Most Rishonim hold that the loan is not canceled till the end of Shmita. We learned yesterday the Rosh says that the loan is canceled, suspended at the beginning of Shmita. So he would understand the word Vashviyas literally. Rashi and most other Rishonim who say that's not the case. So Rashi explains that Vashviyas means at a time when Shmita is in effect. Other Rishonim talk about it may mean after Shmita, but just Bashvias means when after Shvias has taken effect, whatever. The malva is obligated to tell the loiver, is obligated to tell the borrower, don't give it to me. He has to tell him Meshamet Ani. He has to tell him, I'm Meshamet, I'm foregoing the loan. Im Amalai, Achal Pikain. And if at that point the loiver says, nevertheless, I want to return it to you, Yikabalai Menor, then you can accept it from him. Because the pasuk says this is the word of the Shmita. Meaning there has to be a word said. There has to be the word said in the Shamatani. And then there can be the word said Alpha Pikay. The Torah says that Dvar HaShmita. As a matter of fact, actually, the Mishnah says over there, the last Mishnah of Shviyas says that if a person returns such a loan like that, where he says Alpha Pikay, Ruach Chachamim no Chaymen, the Chachamim are pleased with such a person. That he didn't take advantage of the mitzvah to get out of paying his loans.
The Chachamim are
the ones that we interface with on a day-to-day basis. They're the ones, if Ruach Chachamim no Chaymen, yes, you can be sure the Eibishter is pleased with such a person, I'll say.
How do we say this? A master somebody returns the chayv?
Yeah, so he's paying it back.
The malva has to tell him
Meshamatani, and if the loiva says Alf Kikain, you kabel emenu, then the malva is allowed to accept it. Omer Rabba, v'tolilei ad de'omer hochi. He can hang him until he says that. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi says it means if the loiva does not want, if the loiva tries to go back on it, then the malva has the ability, even if he's powerful enough to. Mefarshim, actually, one second. Mefarshim disagree what Rashi means exactly, but yes, one way of explaining Rashi is that if the loiva has said Alpha Pikain, and therefore I want to, or not even Alpha Pikain, if he said he's coming to give back the loan, and now he wants to change his mind, and it's fine. You said Meshamat, I'm even, let me go away. The malva at that point has the ability to hang him up and force him to say Alpha Pikain. That's how Rashi learned.
Because he said what?
Because he originally came to pay back the loan. Meaning, if he hadn't come back, if he hadn't come to begin with, then fine, the Malva can't go after him. But if once he came saying, I'm ready to pay back the loan, if at that point, when the Malva tells him the Shamat Ani, and he's that way he's been yoked for the mitzvah of Shvius that way, of letting the loan be canceled, at that point, if the guy says, fine, let me take my money and go, then he can force it. Many other Rishonim disagree with Rashi on that. They say, how is that possible? Then you've basically taken away the whole mitzvah of Shemitah. So they give other explanations. One explanation that a number of Rishonim give is based on the Yerushalmi has a very funny expression about this. When the Mishnah says that the Malva has to say Meshamet Ani, the Yerushalmi says he can say it Besofer Rafa, like Meshamet Ani, sort of like you're meant to understand, like he doesn't really sincerely mean it, and with your hand outstretched. And then the guy ought to take the hint and understand that he's supposed to tell you apple pain and return it. So therefore, some portion say that's what Tolile means. Not literally you hang him up, like Rashi says, but like you hang around, you put your eyes on him, like you keep on staring at him and at his wallet and whatever, until he gets the hint.
Can you do really that? I mean,
that's according to them. That's
would they opposite intent?
But that's you have to do the mitzvah. Meshamet Ani, you know, if you're good, if you want to do it, the Lev Shalom, good day. But you're not required to.
Really?
Yeah. And then there's a third possible.
Sounds like it sounds like you know.
Okay. And then there's a third. Okay. And then there's a third
question. Why the Chachamim don't say of that? It's also a big mitzvah. Meshamet Ani. They just say
it is. He's doing a mitzvah d'oraisa. No question about it. They don't have to say that Ruach Chachamim no sense. He's doing what the Torah said. Anyway, the Rebbe gives a third explanation of this tolile, that it means if the loiver gives him the money, he shouldn't right away go and tuck it into his pocket. Let him hold on to it for a minute as if to show, like, it's not, okay, you paid me back and that's it. Really, I am being mishamet. If you don't want it back, then fine, I'll put it in my pocket.
Don't give him the opportunity to change his mind.
Well, that's going to the Rebbe, but effectively you're sort of giving him the opportunity to change his mind, but again, like, you're holding on to it, you wouldn't, okay.
It wouldn't say
Meshamet
in the front
half. What? No, so you'd say Meshamet, so then it's a whole back and forth. Meshamet Ani, Meshamet Ani, Apple Pekane, hands it over, and then you hold on to it for a minute as if to say, if you want to have a chance to take it back, then you'll have your last chance, and if not, then that's how the Rebbe learns it.
Really?
Yeah.
So he can retract.
According to the Rebbe, yeah.
According to the others,
no, he can't. According to Rashi, especially, once he even came to begin with the money for the loan, then he doesn't have the ability to. Yeah. So the Gemara tells the case. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's three different explanations.
The way is like to give the labor to get it back.
Yeah.
And the other way, you're saying the Tolly Lay means he's like, feel like keep his eye, look on his eyes and he should get it.
Okay, that's how it is.
By the way, I'm definitely.
As long as it takes for the guy to get the hint. I don't know. That's the Meiri. He also says, for example, that Tolile, he says a slightly different thing. It means like you keep the guy there, you start explaining to him, I lent you this money out of Avas Yisrael. You know, you give him a guilt trip, basically, until he understands what he's supposed to do. Yeah. So the Gemara tells, Abba Bar Mauter to Abba Bar Manyumi. There was a case, Abba Bar Mauter was also known as Abba Bar Manyumi. Maybe Mauter was his mother's name and Manyumi was his father's name, whatever. Have a Masik Be Rabba Zuzma. No, you mean Marcha Bavaisis? No, it's not the same one from Tisha B'Av either. No, this is hundreds of years later. Okay, apparently it was a common name in those days. Have a Masik Be Rabba Zuzi. Rabba, he owed money to Rabba. I sinu niyale b'shvias, so he brought him the money to pay him back during or after Shemitah. Omalei m'shamatani, so Rabba told him what you're supposed to do m'shamatani. Shekli nevalzo, so Abba Mamanuri took the money and went and left. Osa Abaya ashkeche to have a osib. Abaya came and found that Rabba was upset. I lost all that money. Omalei amai osib ma, he says, what's the matter? Omalei hochi of amai, so he tells him what happened. Oza l'gabe, so Abaya went to talk to Abba Mamanuri. Did you bring money to my Rebbe, to Rabba? Amalei Ein, yes. Amalei Omai Amaloch, so what do you say? Amalei Meshametani. Amalei, so Abaya tells him, Ba'amrit Le Alpha Pekane, so did you answer him like you're supposed to Alpha Pekane? Amalei Le. Amalei, so Abaya says, the Amrit Le Alpha Pekane, have a Shaklin Aminach. You know what? If you had told him Alpha Pekane, he would have taken it from you. He would have taken it. Yeah, he would have accepted it. Hashtem, yes, I'm tinu niyale. So now it's not too late. bring it back to him, ve'emalei ha'apikain, and tell him ha'apikain, because after all, the Mishnah does say that ruach ha'chamim no'chaymenu, you wouldn't want to go against that. So sure enough, he brought the money back to Rabbah, and Shaklim, and Rabbah took it from him. Omar, and Rabbah says afterwards, this young Talmid Chacham, Abba Bamarta, didn't have the sense originally to realize what the proper thing to do was to do until I explained it to him. An interesting word that I saw from a Fadr Chakoyan. We know the famous thing, Rebbe quotes in Tanya, that Rabbi says, Kigoyna no Beinani. Now, okay, a Beinani in Tanya is somebody who has a Yetzirah and is constantly fighting against it. Rebbe Tzaddik's understanding of it apparently is that still he was on a high enough level, Rabbi, that if he had a desire for something, he knew that it has to be coming from Tzaddik Kedusha. So this itself, that it has to be coming from Kedusha.
Himself.
So therefore, when he realized that he's upset over the fact that he lost this money, that itself told him the correctness of the halacha that he said before, that you have the ability to force the guy into or guilt trip the guy or whatever into paying it back like Abaye did, because otherwise he wouldn't have felt upset. Otherwise he would have felt happy that he had a chance to do the mitzvah. I'm going to go down that. That's the thing. But why was Rabbah upset, according to the Svart? Because that's the halacha, is that he had a right to be upset. That the guy Taka should have said Alpha Pekane, and he didn't.
You could say that the other guy who lost the opportunity.
Maybe. Okay.
So he
Yeah, he brings this exact case, yeah. Okay, Amar Behold Amar of Nachman. Neman, Adam Lima Prusbul Hoya Biyadi Va'abad Mimani. A person is believed to say that I had a Prusbul in my hands. Again, we're talking about a written Prusbul, and I lost it, and I'd still be able to collect his debt. My time, given to Kinder Rabbanan Prusbul, once the Rabbanan made the Sakana, that you can have a Prusbul, and therefore you'll be able allowed to collect your debt after Shemitah, we can assume that a person is not going to abandon the way of doing something to Heter, and instead do it to Isser.
Can we say
That's what we talked about on Amud Aleph. That's according to the opinions that anybody can do it verbally. Again, you have Rambam's opinion that only a Talmid Chacham can do that. You were talking a regular person. So a regular person would be expected to have Shtar Prusbul. But even if he doesn't, we can assume, given that it's so easy to execute a Prusbul, to have a Prusbul written, he wouldn't abandon the way of doing something to Isser, do it to Isser, and collect his debt against the halacha when he has a way of making it possible for him to do it off the halacha.
So, because the mitzvah, according to your understanding, a person who does a written prusbul, there are some people who do a written, I think.
Right.
Should they call that called keeping the prusbul afterwards?
It's probably better to keep it, but if they don't, then so actually, maybe not, I don't know. Because he also would come to Rav. In fact, when a person would come to Rav to try to collect the debt, Amalei, then Rav would actually ask him, "Midi prusbul hayalachava avad? Did you maybe have a prusbul and you've lost it?" And if the guy said yes, then he'd allow him to collect the debt. Because kigoyin zep sach picha le'ilamu. This is an example of what the pasuk says: open up your mouth for the mute. Meaning, the person himself may not even realize that without a written prusbul in his hand, he's able to collect his debt. It's the obligation of the Rabbanan, therefore, to inform him of that fact.
Because you would think that
otherwise, once it's lost, it's lost. Right. Possible. Right. There is law, and not only you can still do it, but it's the obligation of the Rav to actually tell him that, you know what, did you have a prusbul? And if the guy answers it, that's because we just said that the person is not going to do it be'isser when he could have easily done it be'hetzer.
But the guy will say truthfully,
no, I didn't make a prusbul, then the Rav will have to tell him, I'm sorry, then you've lost the loan. But But as we said, Moish Shavik in a Sheter of Achol Yisuri, he could have easily, very easily done prusbul. Okay, but we assume that a person is not going to do something be'isser when he could have so easily done it be'hetzer. There is an interesting thing, actually. The Torah brings from his father, the Rosh. In that time, like I mentioned before, that in the Ma'aril's time, people were not very careful about writing prusbulim, and they still collected their debts after Shemitah. The Ma'aril gives a couple of reasons why that is. In the Rosh's times also, it was very common that people didn't write prusbulim. So the Torah says, in that case, in a time like that, in the Rosh's time, you can't use this, because you can't assume that necessarily a person would have written a prose. It's not necessarily the person would have written a prose bowl. You can't trust him at his word. So when a person would come to the Rosh for a Din Torah, and he would claim, I had a prose bowl written, the Rosh would start asking him all kinds of questions. What is a prose bowl? Which basin did you do it in front of? Et cetera, all the possible details. And inevitably, the guy would end up getting tripped up and end up coming out that he never had a prose bowl written in the first place. The Torah says nobody ever got through the Rosh's questioning. Okay, so Gemara says, Tanan, wait a minute, let's see. We learn in a Mishnah. Nobody hadn't actually written a prose bowl, right?
Right.
Well, since it was rare in those times, then yeah. Let's see. The Mishnah says in Ksuvos, "V'chein ba'al chayv shemoyti shtar chayv ve'enim et pruz bol." The same thing that says a creditor who takes out a shtar chayv and there's no pruz bol to go along with it, harei lo yipar of it. He can't get paid back. So you see, if he doesn't have an actual written pruz bol in hand, he can't get paid back. What are you telling me that we believe him that he originally had one, or we even prompt him to say that he had one, whatever? It's a tanoi. It's actually not close to tanoi. The Tanya, we learn in a Braith, how Moti Shtar Chayv Tzorech Shehem a Pruz Bol. One opinion is that if he brings out a Shtar Chayv, he must have a written Pruz Bol with it. The Chacham say you don't need to. So therefore, the Mishnah in Ksugos would be going according to the first opinion in the Braith, and Rav would be going according to the second opinion, according to the opinion of the Chacham. Well, again, if it's a time and place when people commonly make Pruz Bolim, then yes, you can believe him because of Shavik in a Shekeid of Achli Soda. If it's a time and place where it's uncommon for people to, then you have what the Torah brings from the Rosh that you can't
Today,
it's common that people make Pruz Bolim, whether in writing, whether verbally or whatever, so therefore we can take them at their word that they did one. And besides all the Hekeidim that I was mentioning yesterday and today, that the various Achronim, various Rishonim and Achronim talk about Heterim for being able to collect the debt even after Shemitah without a Pruz Bol anyhow, one of them being, I mentioned what the Ma'aril says, that nowadays a Shtar Chayv is usually written that it should be valid according to Jewish law and Havdil according to Goyish law, and Goyish law there's no such thing as Shemitah. Basically what it says in Shulchan Aruch is, in principle, when a person takes out a loan nowadays, it's assumed that there's an implied T'nai that it won't be canceled by Shemitah. Nevertheless, they still talk about, and the Alpha Debe especially says, you know what, go make a Pruz Bol anyhow, what does it hurt you? And the Alpha Debe, of course, is Machmir, even to the extent that he says that ideally you should make a Pruz Bol at the beginning of Shemitah and at the end of Shemitah in order to satisfy the Rosh's opinion that as soon as Shemitah comes, you're not allowed to demand repayment of the loan. And that's how we do, Taka.